There was a man who used to come to church at this pastor's church this one Sunday every year. Just one Sunday every year, he would walk in the door, sit through the entire service, and leave. It was the only time the pastor saw him. Now, the pastor was kind of used to this when it came to Christmas or Easter. But what was really unusual about this man was that this Sunday fell on neither Christmas nor Easter. In fact, this was one of those Sundays that the pastor was pretty sure he was the only one that knew existed, because it was Trinity Sunday. Now, Trinity Sunday moves around with Easter, so the pastor was very convinced that it could not be just a coincidence that it was the man's birthday or his wife's birthday or Mother's Day or something in his life that he felt he needed to be there for. No, it had to be Trinity Sunday because the date moved around and every year he was always there. Well, finally, curiosity got the better of this pastor and he decided to just ask the man, why was it that he was in church every Trinity Sunday? Now, I'm sure that he was hoping for one of those answers like, because the Trinity is just such an amazing thing. It's just full of such beauty and majesty of God, and I just love to come and be a part of that. Or something about how important the Trinity was to him. But when the pastor finally had the guts to ask, the man said, well, the reason I like to be here on Trinity Sunday is because I get a kick out of seeing the pastor get all confused trying to explain the Trinity to the congregation. Well, the Trinity is confusing, and I will confess that up front. And if you think you're going to walk out of here today and understand every nuance of the Trinity, you might as well leave now. Don, I'm sure you're going to walk up. Except for Don, you have to stay. Just enjoy watching me get confused trying to explain the Trinity. The truth is that I have heard people over and over again say to me, in the short time I've been in ministry, things that let me know that the Trinity is confusing for a lot of people. So if the Trinity is one of those things that has always confused you, you're not alone. In fact, the Trinity has been wrestled with by the church for all of the church's existence. It's just not one of those things that we can completely pin down, that we can completely comprehend. It is confusing to try to figure out how God can be three persons in one, and one person's in three. How can God be both Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? Which one is more important? Which one is God? Have you thought those things yourself, only to get those very confusing answers? All of them. So if the Trinity is so confusing, and if the church has been wrestling with it for such a long time, it might occur to some people to say, well, then why not just forget about it? Why bother with this whole concept of the Trinity anyway? Why not just let it go? After all, you have probably heard that the Trinity, as the word Trinity, does not even appear in the Scriptures. And in fact, that is true. But in spite of all of that, in spite of how confusing the Trinity is, in spite of the fact no one has ever really been able to pin down just exactly all the nuances of it, in spite of the fact the church continues to wrestle with it 2,000 years later, we cannot simply forget about it. Because you see, the Trinity is really not an intellectual analysis of God. As much as it seems like it's in seminaries where we debate about what the meaning of the Trinity is, the concept of the Trinity did not come from academia. It did not come from intellectual conversations about who God was. The concept of the Trinity came out of the experience of people with God. The early church did not start with creeds. the early church started with, an encounter and an experience of God. And as they began to talk about it, this language of the Trinity unfolded. The Trinity is not a concept of intellect, a scientific debate that you are being invited to participate in. No. The Trinity is an experience of God. The concept of the Trinity is an invitation to experience God in God's fullness. To experience just how grand and gigantic our God is. In Matthew's gospel, as Jesus begins to talk about the last things with his disciples, he says to them, now when you baptize, baptize persons into the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. He does not simply say, baptize people into my name. Or baptize people into the name of the Father or of the Holy Spirit. But baptize them into the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. We are invited to be baptized into the fullness of God. Now I'm going to say something that you all are probably going to think is very radical, and you're very free to argue with me about it later, because I'm going to say it simply for shock effect. When we talk about the Trinity, one of the things that we are saying is that Jesus isn't enough. Jesus isn't enough. Now doesn't that sound like blasphemy? But if Jesus were enough, why did he spend his whole ministry pointing to the Father? And if Jesus were enough, why did he say to the disciples, this thing that I still wrestle with, that it was necessary for him to leave so that the Holy Spirit could come? That's how important God the Father and God the Holy Spirit are. Wow. Because the person of Jesus is so vitally important to our faith. It's where we spend a lot of our time and energy talking about. Jesus is so much to us. It seems like he could be enough in and of himself. For Jesus is the only Son of God. Jesus is God. Jesus is the center of our Christian faith. We are called Christians because we believe in Christ. It is Jesus who has allowed us to know who God is. It is Jesus who has come and walked with us. Jesus is our Emmanuel, our God with us. To know Jesus is to know a God that experiences everything we experience. To know Jesus is to know a God who cries every tear we cry. That laughs every laugh we laugh. That knows and feels our pain. That knows and understands our triumphs. To know Jesus is to know a God that is with us, even to the end of the age. But yet, Jesus invites us to know a God that is even bigger than that. A God that is even bigger than Jesus, God with us. But to also know God the Father. The God who is above us. The God who reigns over us. The God who is enthroned in heaven. Who sits on the throne of the cosmos and who directs the world and our lives. This is a God that goes before us, who prepares the way in the wilderness, who prepares the way in our life. This is a God who makes our future possible and makes it possible that our future be something worth getting to. This is the God who created our life, and this is the God who makes our life unfold. This is also the God who can reach into our past and not only make our future worth living, but do amazing things with our past that brings us full circle. It was God who sent His only Son that our sins of our past might not haunt us forever. To know God the Father is to know a God that reigns over us, a God that is greater and bigger and more than we can ever imagine. But even if we know God the Father, the God who reigns over us, and God the Son, Jesus Christ who walks beside us, we still will not know the fullness of God, the vastness, the grandeur of this God we serve, unless we also allow ourselves to encounter God the Holy Spirit. We don't normally use that title for God. We talk about God the Father and God the Son, but have you ever talked about God the Holy Spirit? I think sometimes we try to make God the kind of the stepchild of the Trinity. It's like, okay, we've got these two over here and then the Holy Spirit, you know. He's kind of maybe important. But remember, the Holy Spirit was so important to our experiencing the fullness of God that Jesus said, hey, if I don't go, He can't come. And this is going to be how important it's going to be to you. But I think it's very important that I go. In spite of the fact that we don't often use that language, God the Holy Spirit, that is, I have discovered, the experience of the Holy Spirit is probably the way I hear people talking about God the most. God, the Holy Spirit, is the experience of God in us. The God who speaks to us, who guides us in that still, small voice. The God in us, changing us, molding us, leading us forward, working through us. Directing us to know God in us is to know God, the Holy Spirit. It is amazing to me that we serve such a grand, such a large, such a big God that simply one experience of God will never be enough to explain this God. And so, when we talk about the Trinity, when we talk about God the Father, and God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, we are really inviting persons to know this God in the many ways available, to just experience the bigness of God. The creeds, the songs, the references to the Holy Spirit, to the Son and to the Father. The references to the Trinity, as we get to know this God, become more meaningful to us and more real. As we enter into this season of Pentecost, where we celebrate the birth of the church, where we celebrate the ministry of the church and us and our growing in faith. And that's one of the reasons that green becomes one of the colors we have red up today, still celebrating Pentecost, is because it symbolizes a season and a period of growth. And so my challenge to you during this season and period of growth is to allow yourself to get to know your God a little more. Perhaps spend some time with one of the persons of the Trinity that you haven't spent so much time thinking about or talking to. To spend some time getting to know the God who reigns over you, God the Father. The God who walks with you, God the Son. And the God who is within you, God the Holy Spirit. For this is no puny little God that we serve, and no experience of Him or no name for Him or no pronoun, for that matter, will ever be enough to describe all that there is. Words will never be enough. But our experiences, I think God will give us more than we know how to handle.